3, the brick and the name. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Stop on that and let it stand a moment, because it will not last, and while it lasts, it is a very great good. Think what it is. Not one man in all the world who cannot be spoken to, no stranger anywhere upon the round earth, whom you could not halt on the road and ask the way of, and be answered and understand. A song made in the morning in one country is understood by nightfall in the next. A wrong is explained before it is avenged. Every soul alive is inside the same conversation. And now hear the other edge of it, which is the edge the enemy was holding. In a world of one speech, a lie need only be told once. He did not have to carry it over a border and find a mouth that could say it. He had to get it into one head on one plane, and by the end of the season, every man alive could repeat it, and every man alive would think that he had thought of it himself. And they journeyed from the east and found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. We told you what that plain is, for we are sitting on it. We did not tell you the whole of it at the door, and this is the place for the rest. There is no stone in this country. We do not mean that stone is scarce here. We mean that there is none, not a boulder, not an outcrop, not a quarry within 100 miles, no flint in the fields, and no gravel in the riverbeds. For the two rivers have been laying soft mud upon this floor since before the flood, and under the mud there is nothing but more mud. There is no timber worth the name, and no ore, and no metal in the ground at all, no copper, no tin, no iron, not so much as a vein of it. The palm and the reed and the river clay are the whole inheritance of the richest country in the world. And of all the corners of the marchlands that the enemy might have chosen to gather the race into, he chose the one where nothing whatever is given. Think what that does to the men who live here, for it made them, and it is making them still. Everything in this country is a substitute for something the country has not got. There is no stone, so they make a stone, and they make it out of mud. There is no timber, so they bind reeds into pillars as thick as a man, and stand them up, and lay reed matting between the courses of the brick to tie the wall as a carpenter would tie it with wood. There is no metal, so they buy it from the ends of the earth with the corn their canals grow. And every knife in the country came up a river in another man's boat. They invented writing and law and the reckoning of the stars and the plow and the wheel and the year. And they invented every one of them, because the ground gave them nothing and they were obliged to make the world twice. It is the cleverest country on the face of the earth, and there is not one thing in it that was not first a lack. Now hold that in your hand, and remember who it is whose whole kingdom is a substitute, and who has never in all the ages of his ruin had one thing of his own to give. Go to, said they one to another, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Mark that the record stops to say it. It halts in the middle of the building to tell you what they were building with, which it does almost nowhere else in all the writings. It does not tell you what wood the tent poles of the fathers were cut from, and it does not tell you what the walls of Nineveh were made of. But it stops here and sets it down plainly that they had brick for stone. There is a whole doctrine folded up in that little sentence, and it is folded so quietly that a man may read over it for a lifetime. They had brick for stone. They had a made thing where a given thing should have been. And that is not merely how the tower was built. It is the deed of the whole lower kingdom, and it is written on the wall of every house in this city. We can tell you exactly how a brick is born, for we have watched it born every day of our captivity. They cut the clay out of the pit with a mattock and tread it in water with their feet until it is a gray paste and beat the chopped straw into it. And the straw is not for ornament. It is because a brick without straw cracks as it dries. They press the paste into a wooden mold and strike it level with the flat of the hand, and turn the mold over and knock the brick out on the ground and go on to the next. And a boy comes behind and lays them in ranks to take the sun, and that is a common brick, and it will do for a house. But a great work wants better. So they build the kilns and burn the reeds, and the black smoke lies over the plain for weeks on end and gets into everything, into the bread and the water and the hair and the lungs of the children. And the brick comes out of that fire as hard as anything the earth ever made, and it rings when you strike it, and it will be standing when the man who made it has been forgotten 1,000 years. That is what they meant by burn them thoroughly. And it works. There is the whole terror of it, and men will not believe it until it is much too late. The counterfeit works. It is the whole strength of the ruined ones, and it is the whole of their poverty. And for mortar, they had slime, which is the black pitch that comes up out of this ground of its own accord. It seeps into the marshes and lies in pools and stinks in the heat, and a man may go and gather it with a bucket, and they boil it, and it goes on hot and black, and it grips as nothing else in the world grips. It is in the walls of every great building on this plain. It was in the seams of the ark. We say that once, and we will not press it. The same black stuff that kept the water out of the last safe place in the world was carried up a scaffold on this plain to hold a tower together. The enemy cannot make. He can take a thing given for a mercy and find another use for it. And that is his whole trade, and he has never needed another. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And there is the wrong of Babel, and it is a wrong that nearly every man mistakes. It was not that they built high. Height is no wrong, and El Elyon is not made anxious by tall buildings. He hung the stars. The mountains the boat came to rest on are higher than anything the hand of man will ever raise. And he made them, and he is not troubled by a heap of mud on a flat plain. Heaven was never offended by their architecture. The wrong was in the three things they said, and the whole war of the two kingdoms is standing in them, one at a time. The first is the tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and we must tell you what such a tower is, because you are imagining the wrong thing, and everything turns upon it. You are imagining a stair for men to climb up to God. Everybody imagines that. It is wrong, and the men of this country would laugh in your face for it. A tower of that kind is not built for men to go up. It is built for a God to come down. It is a mountain made by hand in a country that has no mountains, raised in stages, with a great ramp climbing the flank of it and a shrine upon the summit. And the shrine is not a lookout, and it is not a house where the people gather, for the people never go up at all, and only the priest may set his foot on the top stair. It is a bedchamber. We have seen the one in this city with our own eyes, and we have had the sweeping of its steps. There is a couch in it, there is a table, and the God's meat is laid on it every day. And in the middle of the room there is a place made ready where the image of the God should stand. And Most High, El Elyon, has always come down upon mountains of his own making, and Ramoth has never yet had need of a ramp. And we can tell you what one of them measures, because we have paced it, and we have paced it a great many times with a basket on our shoulder and nothing else to do but count. The one standing over this city is as broad at the foot as it is high. Think of that and hold it. A perfect cube of burnt brick, a mountain with the sides squared, 7 stages of it, and a triple stair on the southern face going up like three rivers running the wrong way. Now, hear the other number, and we set it down, and then we shall have to stop for a while, because it is not easy for us. The house of El Elyon, that our fathers built, the house that was burnt, the floor of which is standing open to the rain, 1,000 miles behind us, with the grass coming up through it, was 30 cubits high. This thing is 7 times that. 7 times. We know it because we have measured both, one of them from the plans of our fathers, and the other with our own feet on its own stairs. And there is not a man among us who can walk past that reckoning without stopping. Their God has the biggest house in the world, and there is nothing in it. And it was said by no king, and there is the thing men never notice. Go to, said they one to another. Not, the king commanded them. Not, a God-king rose up and drove them to it with whips as we are driven. They said it to one another. It came up out of the crowd, over the fences in the evening, at the wells, the way such things always come. And by the time anybody with a crown had anything to do with it, the whole plain wanted it already and would have knifed a man who stood in the way. And there is the thing to be frightened of, and it is not the tyrant. The enemy does not need a tyrant. He would like one, and he will take one, and he can generally arrange one. But what he needs, what he wants, is a consensus. There is the invitation, and now it stands whole. They were not climbing to heaven. They were building a house at the head of a stair, and laying a table in it, and leaving the door open, and they were calling something down. They meant to have a God of their own, on their own plane, in a room of their own building, whom they might feed and dress and consult and manage. And a God who comes down because you have built him a house is a God you have hired, and a hired God can be dismissed. That is what men have always wanted. It is what they want in your own century, and they will pay any price on earth for it, except the one price that is asked. And the empty place in the middle of that room did not stay empty. We shall say no more of it here. But the tower was no silly ladder, and the men of Shinar were not merely vain. There was a furnished room at the top of it, and it was waiting, and somebody was expected, and the door of it did not open upon Ramoth. The second is the name. Let us make us a name. And now we are at the middle of this scroll, and you were told at the door to watch for this word, and here it is, with the wet mud still on it. The men of renown are standing in that sentence. The drowned world is standing in it. They wanted the very thing the giants wanted, and they said it out loud, in the daylight, as a proposal of public works. Hear what is inside it. A name is not received here, and it is certainly not received from above. It is quarried and molded and fired and stacked, and it is going to be enormous, and it will be seen from every quarter of the plain, and it will make us somebody. That is the offer the ruin has been making since the hour his own name was taken off him, and it has never changed by a syllable. You are nobody, and nobody knows your name, and you had better make one, and you may make it out of mud if mud is all you have. We have said it before, and we say it again. And a made name must be defended forever, which is the part he leaves out. A name a man makes is a wall he must stand on all his life. Every rain takes a little off the top of it, and every neighbor's tower is an insult to it, and it must be raised again and raised again to be seen over the next one. And the man who has made himself a name may never again be simply a man standing on a plain in the evening, because there is a thing over there in the brick that has to be fed. A made name is a debt. And the accuser keeps the only other ledger in the three worlds, and he was writing in it while they were still laying out the foundation. And he has never yet had to send in a bill, because men have always paid without being asked. Meanwhile, out to the west and north of that plain, in a family of tent dwellers who owned nothing and could not have raised a wall between the lot of them, the promise was walking quietly down the generations in the line of a man whose name means the name, and who never had to make one. And you should ask, though nobody ever does, whose name it was to be. "Let us make us a name," they said. And there were a great many of them saying it, and only one name was going up on that plain. Not the bricklayers. Not the man in the clay pit with his feet in the water and the straw dust in his throat, nor his boy on the ramp with the basket cutting into his shoulder. Their names are gone. Not one of them is written anywhere in the three worlds except in Ramoth, and the tower they died for did not have a letter of any one of them upon it. We know exactly how that is done, and we did not learn it out of a book. Every fired brick in the tower that stands over this city as we write has a name pressed into its face, and it is not the name of the man who made it. There is a whole nation of us carrying that name up a ramp on our own shoulders. When a people says, "Let us make us a name," there is always an us that means everybody, and a name that means one man, and the whole of the difference is paid in backs. The third is the refusal, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Here they put their hand flat against the word of El Elyon and pushed it back. They knew the charge. It had come down to them from the mountain, from the eight who walked off the boat, and it was the first word spoken over the new world, and it is not the sort of word a race forgets in three generations. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Go out. Spread. Take the far coasts and the cold north and the hot rivers and the islands, and make a home in every one of them, for the whole of it is yours, and the whole of it is standing empty. And they looked at that, on their plain, with the kiln smoking, and they said, "No, we will not be scattered. We will gather, and we will stay. And we will build one great fist of a city with one great work in the middle of it, and no man living shall send us anywhere." That refusal is the black heart of it, and it is the peace the enemy wanted most. We told you in the last telling how he reasoned it out in the dark, and here it is coming up out of the mud exactly as he drew it. A race spread thin across a whole world must be fought for in 10,000 villages, one hearth at a time, and he cannot be in 10,000 places at once. A race gathered into one place, with one tongue, and one will, and one work, and one crown, is a race he can hold in one hand. He did not have to teach them to hate El Elyon. That was never in his power, and it is not in it now. He had only to teach them to stay together and to be afraid of the open world and to call the fear a virtue and the huddling a glory. They built him the very thing he needed out of their own mud with their own hands, and they were proud of it, and they paid for it themselves, and they thought the paying was greatness. And there is a word in that sentence that men walk over, and it is the word city. Let us build us a city and a tower. The tower is what everyone remembers, and the city is what he came for. You have seen this before in this chronicle, and you saw it in the book of the making, and we will only put the two side by side and leave them for you. The first man ever to build a city was a man who had been told to be a wanderer, and he built it because he would not go, and he named it after his son and put a wall round his fear. That was one man's city. This is the whole race's city. On a bigger plain, with a better wall, the wall is always the same wall. It is the answer of a soul that will not be sent out to a God who keeps sending men out. Now, how long were they building? We do not know, and we will not guess. The record does not say, and we have noticed a thing about tellers, ourselves not excepted, that they cannot abide a silence of that sort and will always fill it up with a number. The moment a man begins reckoning a builder's timetable, he has stopped telling a legend and started auditing a contract. We will say only what the ground says. Work of that kind is not done in a season, It is generations, a man's whole life in the clay pit, and his son's whole life on the ramp, and his grandson's on the scaffold. Children born in the shadow of it, who grew old in the shadow of it, and never saw the top of it finished. A whole people who knew from the cradle that they existed in order to raise a thing they would not live to see. And that is what they were spending their lives upon. Not bread, not children, a name. And Abaddon can wait longer than any man can build, and it costs him nothing at all to wait, and waiting is very nearly the whole of what he does. And here we must be honest with you about what can be shown and what cannot, because there are men in every age who will sell you a certainty, and we have none to sell. Nobody has ever dug up the Tower of Babel. Not one brick of it has ever been lifted out of the ground and laid before us with the record's own words upon it. And any man who tells you otherwise is selling something, and we would rather lose you here at this line than keep you with a lie. What we can tell you is this, and it is more than you may think. Everything the record says about how this country builds, this country does. Brick for stone, so it is, and so it must be. And there is no other way to build here. Slime for mortar, so it is, and it is on our hands. And the boast itself, a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, is not the record putting a fine phrase into their mouths. It is their own builder's phrase, cut into their own foundations by their own kings, in their own tongue, at this hour. The record is speaking the language of the yard. Whoever set it down had stood where we are standing and had heard the men on the ramp talking. And there is one more thing about that name, and we will set it down here before we go on. There is a name pressed into the face of every fired brick that goes up the ramp in this city, and it is not the name of any man who made one. It is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who burnt the house of El Elyon and put us on the ramp, and the tower he is raising is called Etemenanki, which in their tongue is the house of the foundation of heaven and earth. We have held those bricks wet in our own hands before ever they went to the kiln, and we know the weight of them dry. That is how we come to know what we are about to tell you. Go back to the record and look for a name on the first plane. There is not one. Not the man who cut the first brick. Not the one who said, "Go to first in the evening at the well." Not one soul out of the whole multitude that wanted a name above every other thing is named. They are gone off the earth like the smoke off their own kilns, and the tower they spent their lives upon did not carry a letter of any one of them. So it went up, course upon course, a mountain out of a marsh. The ramps black with men, and the baskets coming up on the shoulder all day long in the heat. The smoke of the kilns lying over the plain until the sun looked like a red coin at noon, the pitch boiling, the bricklayers calling to one another along the scaffolding in the one tongue that every soul alive could understand. And the watchers of Ramoth stood along the rim of the world above and looked down at it and did not lift a hand and were not commanded to. And the ruined ones came up under that plain as near to the floor of the middle world as they are suffered to come, and stood there in the dark, listening to the feet on the ramp. And their king stood in the midst of them with his head thrown back, in that country where nothing is ever made and nothing ever grows, listening to a whole race building him a room. He had waited a long age to be given a house, and he had never in all his ruin been able to raise one.